literally everyone turned and was like looking at us. And I'm like, is it because we're black? Is it because we're a same-sex family? Do we look crazy? Do we smell weird? I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
There's that one kid or that one young adult that's going to see my family and be like, oh, okay, like that's awesome. Or just be like, you know, I could have a family like that. I've got a mom and a dad and you've got two moms. That's great. Can we go play now? Like that's how it should be.
Hi, I'm Sanjay Sudsmith, pronouns he, him, and welcome to the Proud Parent Club, the inclusive LGBTQ plus parenting community. I am delighted to be joined today by Abby, who's also known through her Instagram and YouTube as Abby's Rollercoaster Life. On her Instagram, she describes herself as a family, travel, and outdoor enthusiast, black, queer, bi, mama of two, and she's been in the US military for 17 years and married to her wife, Jamie, for 8. Hi, Abby!
Hi, I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so excited to be talking to you. And it's your like anniversary month at the moment, right?
Yes, it is. We just celebrated our 8-year anniversary by taking this 2-week camping trip. And it's been so busy and so much fun.
I've been looking at your Instagram. It looks incredible. I saw the drone shots that Jamie got you to get up for at the sea.
Yes, I did not want to get up. I told her, I was like, well, you know, the night before, it's always a good idea. I was like, I want to get up at 6 in the morning and go take these drone shots. And then 6 a.m. came and I was like, no way. And Jamie was like, no, you're going to regret this. Let's go. So I'm so glad I did. I'm so glad she made me.
Oh, so it's the kind of partner you need. Like, what did you say? That cheerleads you even when you don't want to be your own cheerleader.
Exactly. She totally supports me, what I want to do. She knows my vision and like just so supportive. It's amazing.
Oh, that's amazing. And how did you two meet?
So we met. I was a weapons instructor. This is when we were stationed up in McGuire Air Force Base in New Jersey. And so I was a weapons instructor. She had to take a couple of weapons classes. And I was her instructor or assistant instructor. Basically, we were around each other for a lot. And then she came up to me and asked me if I could print off some forms for her and her team. And I was like, oh, yeah, because she was going on a deployment. I was like, oh, yeah, sure, no problem. So as they're chatting, they're talking about how they were going to go out that night. And I was like, oh, you know, do you mind if I tag along? And she was like, no, come on. So 2 shots of tequila later, here we are.
2 shots of a weapon and 2 shots of tequila later.
Yes, exactly. Basically.
And what was your experience, or what is your experience, I guess, of being bi or LGBTQ within the military?
Well, when I first came in, because like you said, I have been in for 17 years. And so when I first came in, it was don't ask, don't tell. It was under that policy. So at the time, I wasn't aware of my queerness. I don't want to say coming out of the closet, but I just wasn't aware of my queerness. But other people were queer, identified as queer, but, you know, like, as I said, don't ask, don't tell.
Yeah.
They could get in trouble for that. I never really saw anyone get in trouble for it, but I have heard plenty of horror stories from other queer military members about, you know, going through that process. And it's very sad. So I'm glad when it got repealed in 2010, like, it was just so, like, freeing.
Yeah.
For the queer people, you know, in the military. Being yourself makes you a better person.
Mm-hmm.
And having systems in place that support that make you want to work harder and be better for other people.
Yeah.
So it just allowed, you know, people to be able to do that. You can have your family and also fight for your country at the same time. But I didn't come out as queer until after I had my daughter Maya in 2011. I came out actually in like 2012, and I had her in 2011. Having her made me want to, okay, I want her to be her best self. I want her to live her best life. I need to also lead by example. And so that's when I started exploring my, like, trying to understand my sexuality, trying to understand like who I am as a person. And then that is when I started telling people, you know, I'm bisexual, I'm into women. At first I came out as lesbian because people give bisexuals a bad rep.
Mm-hmm.
But later on I was like, you know what, I'm not that label. That's not who I am. And so I started identifying more with being a bisexual woman.
You know, you raise a point about biphobia and how there's a lot of still bi erasure, lots of tropes that get kind of brought out, and people who are bi are often judged by the partner they're with. And but actually what is great on your social media, you're very visibly bi. You kind of state it out there just to make it very clear.
Exactly. Because I did have relationships with men, and I don't want to erase that. I mean, they weren't the best relationships, but still, that is a part of my history.
Yeah.
And I did have a child. I don't want to say with one, but with one. He is not in the picture at all. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, that is still a part of my history. And I mean, it's just kind of how I identify. Like, I am married to my wife. Like, we... like, she is my person.
Yeah.
But that is still how I choose to identify. So.
And so it's important to hang on to that.
Exactly.
Talk to me about how kind of your family was created.
So I had Maya before I met Jamie. Her birth father was kind of like, when he found out I was pregnant, he was just kind of like, oh, have a good life, basically. And I was like, okay. So I made the decision to keep Maya. I was... you know, I had a stable job. I felt very comfortable. And I was like, I can support this baby. I want to have a child anyway. So I had Maya on my own. I deployed, came back. And then Jamie came into the picture when Maya was 18 months old. And she has been mom ever since. And Maya is going to be 11 next month. So she's just been mom ever since. Her birth father is not in the picture. Maya has never met him. And that is going to be her decision. I will never keep her from him. I give her information like as she grows up. But as of right now, he has no interest and that is his choice. He's missing out. But as for Jamie, Jamie has been a great parent to Maya. And I couldn't pick another better person to parent with than her. She's the fun mom. I'm the don't forget your sunblock, you know, mom. So,
but, and you need both, right? You need a combination of different things.
Exactly. We balance each other very well. So that's how Maya came into the, you know, being. And then Jameson, we wanted another child, but we just didn't know how we would go about it. And I was like, well, I would love to be pregnant again. She completely expressed, like, I do not want to be pregnant, but if this is what we have to do, then I'll do it. But I was like, if there's a way for me to carry your egg, I'll do it. I'll be pregnant again. I loved it. And so Jamie did all the research and found a clinic. And so we did reciprocal IVF. Mm-hmm. We found an open sperm donor on a donor site. Mm-hmm. And I carried, and Jameson she'll be 7 in November. So
7-11.
Yeah, 7-Eleven, right? But they're great. They are sisters through and through. You know, they fight like cats and dogs, and then they love up on each other like crazy. So it's been nice seeing not only my relationship with Jameson and Jamie's as well, but their relationship as sisters. I didn't really have that growing up. Even though I'm not an only child, I basically grew up like one. Mm-hmm. So seeing them have this type of relationship is just, it's so awesome. Even though they drive me crazy, it's so awesome.
And like also with that 4-year age gap, I guess Maya's really like big sister.
She is a big sister. She's very patient with Jameson because Jameson is very like, she's a lot of energy. Just think of a ball of energy, and that is Jay. And Maya is just very like patient, more kinder. I don't want to say more kinder than Jameson, but she is older, so she kind of like, okay, like you're going off the rails, but I'm gonna keep myself down here, so we're not both, you know, going over
like meet
here
in the middle like that.
Yeah, exactly. They're great though.
Amazing. And you just mentioned your own childhood, and I know that's something you've talked a bit about on your own social media about how that has impacted the kind of parent that you want to be.
Oh, definitely. Everything I do is based off of my childhood. My own mother wasn't very present. Like my grandmother raised me for a lot of my formative years. And so when I moved back with my mom, just seeing how she treated me, how she treated my siblings, like, I'm like, I don't want to be like that. We never did anything. And my grandmother was older, so I don't want to blame her for not wanting to go hike or, you know, do things like that. But even still, there were comments like, oh, we don't do that, you know, because I'm Black. So it's like, oh, Black people don't do that. That's, you know, white people do that. And okay. I'm like, So I grew up like believing like that outdoors wasn't a space for me or traveling wasn't for me. Like, I'm not supposed to do those things. And I'm like, well, what am I supposed to do? And then my mom, she didn't really do much. And she was just very self-absorbed into herself. Didn't really feel a whole lot of love coming from her. And I still don't. And that is trauma, but that I have to work through. But and so it still impacts how I parent, though. So
yeah.
As you see, we go on trips, we go out and we do things, even if it's just around town. Like, it doesn't have to be some extravagant thing, but even just like going to the movies together or doing something at the house, like arts and crafts, just that engagement, that paying attention, that quality time, that is something I didn't really get. So I'm like, my kids are like, okay, we know you love us. But I want them to... I want them to feel the overabundance rather than nothing. So
that's amazing. That's amazing. And I'm the child of a mixed race marriage when I was born in like the 80s, where it wasn't too common, certainly in the UK, for there to be much mixed race kids. And you're in a mixed race relationship. How is that in the world today in America?
It depends on where you go. Because, you know, Jamie's white, I'm Black. Jameson is mixed, and Maya, she's basically a carbon copy of me. So it's just kind of like, it just depends on where you go. Right now, we live in Wyoming, so it's very old there. And we still get stared at, looked at, questioned, and people are intrigued, like, what's going on over there? So we still get that, but I kind of use the military kind of like as a little security blanket, like, oh, you know, I throw it out there like, oh, I'm military, like, because of the latter older community, they respect being a service member still, mostly, sometimes, not all the time, but they give me like a different look. Then they're like, oh, okay. And then they start talking about like, what do you do? Oh, you do this and that. And so it kind of like protects me. And also whenever we move, we are in military communities.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are a little bit, they're more open-minded in the communities that we have lived in. They're more of a mixture of people. So even living in Cheyenne, Wyoming, there are different races there because there's, you know, that military community is there.
Yeah. But you still have to use some like deflection tactics and things to kind of try and protect yourself a little bit.
Exactly. Yes. And so when we do travel, like when we travel up to like Montana and where it's a little bit more not as diverse, we do, you know, we do encounter those moments where we're like, are we okay here? And even one time, one of Jamie's favorite stories is we were sitting because we were going snowboarding. And this girl came up to my face, or I think it was Maya's face. It was like one of us. And she just stared and stared. And I didn't even notice. I was just like completely oblivious. But Maya asked Jamie later, like, why was she staring at us? And Jamie was like, she's probably never seen a Black person before. And it just kind of like, she reminds me how often I'm like not paying attention sometimes, like, and then sometimes I remind her. So it's kind of like one of us is always paying attention to our surroundings at certain points. But for the most part, we do feel, and again, I think it's that military blanket that I have. We do feel like safe to a certain extent. But we're still aware.
That makes sense. And is it to like more of a lesser extent? Is it around race or around being in a same-sex family? Or is it kind of different in different scenarios and different situations, different places?
It's different scenarios, different situations. Sometimes it's a combination. Sometimes it's one thing. So, and I never know. Like we went to Casper a couple weeks ago and we walked into this brewery And literally everyone turned and was like looking at us. Mm. And I'm like, is it because we're black? Is it because we're same-sex family? Do we look crazy? Do we smell weird? I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Is it because my daughter has half her head shaved? Like, I don't know. Mm. So I just, like, I take that in and I'm like, you know, maybe I'm just showing them, you know, diversity right now.
Yeah.
They've never seen a family like mine. And there's that one kid or that one young adult that's going to see my family and be like, oh, okay. Like, that's awesome. Or yeah. just be like, you know, I could have a family like that. Or yeah. it's okay to step, you know, outside of myself. Or I don't know. But just, I'm just hoping that we are giving these places a representation that they need. And I hope we're doing it well.
Oh, that's an amazing attitude to have. What's your biggest joy of being a parent so far?
Giving them a good life. They'll be like, oh, I had an amazing day, or, oh, I had an amazing trip, or, oh, that was so fun. I love that. And just those, like, I love you mommies, like at the end of the day, like just knowing that I, you know, am giving them the best life that I can. That is my biggest joy.
And you've been at the parenting game for 11 years. What have you learned? What have you learned along the way?
What have I learned? I think one of the things that I've learned is that I am parenting because of trauma, and just to try to sometimes step out of that. And like, I don't want to just parent because my mom was not a great mom. Like, I want to parent good because I'm a good mom. And so trying not to parent despite of, or in spite of, yes, trying to do it that way and just being more in the moment. Because sometimes we do get caught up in the moment. You know, you go through those stages of life with your kid,
yeah.
newborn, toddler, young child. And now Maya's transitioning into this preteen age, which I'm like, I don't know what's happening. So it's just like trying to be in that moment and not focused on the next stage. And
yeah,
I mean, you can reflect on previous stages, but like just being in that moment with them, because each moment matters. Each yeah. moment has an impact. So there was a lot there, but I think.
No, but I know exactly. But it's because
there's just
each
so
moment
much.
Shifts so quickly. I couldn't believe, like, my daughter's only coming up to 10 months old, but you know, a week ago, she wasn't even bothered about rolling. Now she's practically doing cartwheels, pulling herself up and stuff, saying dada. Like, it just shifts so quickly. And
it does.
And I bet you think, I mean, I bet you're like, gosh, how did my daughter get to 11 years old?
I'm like, where did the time go? Because I swear she was just struggling to roll over 2 weeks ago.
Is it a strict household in a military household? What's the kind of parenting approach and style? Is it, I imagine, immaculately made beds every morning?
So it's funny because I am the rule follower. And Jamie also served. She served for 10 years. She got out last July. So she's a vet, an Air Force veteran. And she was an investigator. Like, she did confinement work. I'm like, you should be the biggest rule follower right now. But she's breaking all the rules. She's like trying to cut corners and do certain things. I'm like, Jamie, we cannot do that. So our house is all over the place, honestly. Like, sometimes the beds are made and then sometimes they are not. Most of the time, if they are made, it's because I made them.
And how do you talk to your children about your family? Because you're the first person I've spoken to so far who's got slightly older children, or someone who's kind of 11, and you're, I guess, will have experienced more in terms of having those conversations about the way that your family came about.
We don't really have the conversation anymore because we've had the conversation so early on. Like I said, Jamie has always been mom. I've been mommy. And there have been comments that have come up from like other kids. Mm. But for the most part, our kids know that some families have two moms, some families have two dads, some only have one parent, some have a grandma. Like, they know that families are different. So, yeah. And again, living in a military community, you do find that mixture of like single parent. Cause we had a friend who was a single father who would come and hang out with us. And we also have met other two mom families We've had friends come over to husbands. Yeah. We've had our neighbor is they have one son, but they, you know, a mom and a dad.
Yeah.
So there have been comments from other kids like, oh, you have two moms? And the girls would be like, yeah, and just shrug it off. Like, it's not some traumatic, oh my gosh, what are they going to say about me having two moms? Like, it's never, ever been that way. And again, I think it's because of that military blanket, because at the core, the military is like, no discrimination, you know, zero tolerance, you know. So parents also have to have that same energy with their kids. And we haven't sent our kids to a like a civilian elementary school, really. All the schools we've sent them to, daycares we sent them to, have been military. So we haven't really had anyone make fun of them or make comments. Mm. It has been like it should be. People just, oh, okay, that's fine. I've got a mom and a dad and you've got two moms. That's great. Can we go play now? Like, that's how it should be.
And actually, this may be my own seeing stereotypes, but that isn't what I would have maybe expected of the military, that it is such an open environment. So that's fantastic.
It is fantastic. And yes, that's how it should be, because it shouldn't matter. I mean, recognize my differences, yes, but my differences don't impact the way that I do my job.
Yeah.
If I'm doing my job well, then we don't have an issue here.
But it's amazing that it hasn't then, like, because I suppose one of the things that I worry about as a two dad family is that our daughter will grow up and then we'll have challenges at like school or something because of us. And actually to hear that it's been a really positive experience gives me hope, I guess.
Yes. And I think the world is changing. I mean, I know we see in the news like horror stories. I think I saw a story the other day where a child, she was trying to sign up for kindergarten and they found out her parents were gay and then they kicked her out of the school. And I'm like, we still do that in 2022? Mm. Like, that is still an issue and it's wild. There are still places out there that are like that, but there are also places out there that are very welcoming. And we are very upfront. We tell the schools, you know, I have a wife. She looks like this. I look like this. Like, we explain, and so far everyone's been like, oh yes, we have other family, you know,
yeah,
we have
yeah.
other families like that, and da da, and my aunt and my uncle, and da da, and I'm like, oh, okay, that's great. Just want to let you know. So we're very just upfront, and kind of, I don't want to say like in your face, but like, this is our family. Is this going to be an issue? And it hasn't been so far.
That's amazing. And you talk as well a bit about being the representation that you needed when you were younger. And you've just talked a bit about being that representation in the different towns you might go to. How does it feel to be able to celebrate your full identity so visibly?
It feels great, honestly. I feel like before I was very sheltered and into myself. But the more I step like outside of myself and I'm just like, this is who I am. This is me. This is all of me. I feel like the more and more I do that, the more it's just easier just living in general. Yeah. And, you know, I'm not just doing it for me. I'm also doing it for my children, too, because mm-hmm. I don't want them to close up those parts of themselves and not explore those parts of themselves. Something that I've been thinking of lately, it's like, if you're an artist, you know, your parents want to cultivate that. If you are like a musician, you know, they want you to practice your instrument and do these things. And you do these things while you're young, as you're growing, as you're learning more about who you are as a person. It's the same thing. I feel like it should be the same thing being queer.
Yeah.
You are learning. Nobody should tell you, oh, you're not that. You wouldn't tell a child you're not an artist or you're not a musician or you're not a singer. You wouldn't tell that to a child. So why do people tell that to children? They need to learn and explore and grow, and diving into those different parts of themselves help them do that.
Yeah.
Locking that away, that's that's probably locking away some part of their artistic side or part of their, I don't know, I'm all over the place, but
no, that makes total sense.
It's so freeing. And I feel like I'm 35 and I'm going to be 35. I'm not 35 yet. I'm 35. I'm going to be 35 in November.
Hang on to being in your early 30s as long as you can.
Right. But it's like, I shouldn't still be sitting here learning how to be my full self. I should already be at my full self right now, but I wasn't given I didn't feel like I had permission to do that. And so I've been giving myself permission and it's fantastic. It's amazing.
And you said that you came to know your queer identity more fully a bit later on. And I guess I'm curious, what was the reason you think that was, that you didn't get to develop into that identity until later on in your life?
Because of like lack of representation, comments made by family, just feeling like it was there, but not feeling like, nah, that's not right. Because I didn't know. I didn't have that representation or that education or people in my life who were like that. My circle, or I don't want to say circle, but the people I hung out around, and you know, when I was younger, I wasn't very, I was sheltered. So I didn't know, and I was just blind to it. Now I look back and I'm like, yeah, you were gay. You were gay then. You liked girls then, and you liked boys. Like, now I can pinpoint moments in my childhood where I was like, oh yeah, definitely. Absolutely. You should have known then. But I had no representation at all. And the only representation I did have was just with, was also made with side comments like, oh, that's gay.
Yeah.
And in just mean derogatory terms towards queer people. So I was like, well, if they're saying that's not right, then it's not right. And then you go into church, because I grew up in the church as well, and the comments there. So it was just the not knowing, the lack of representation.
And so you sort of just like buried, you like, did you feel, was it like you buried it down? So almost like, it wasn't like you were hiding it. It was like you buried it. So you didn't even feel it.
I buried it, didn't even feel it. And when I joined the military, you know, you see the girls making out and all that. And I'm like, oh, you know, okay. And then, you know, people talking about their queerness in the military as well. And I'm like, okay. So like the more and more I was like, you know, this is who I am. And yes. So I did some not so great things before I fully realized like, okay, you are queer. You just need to just learn to be okay with it. And when I figured that out or came to that realization, it was the most freeing moment like of my life.
And what advice would you give to your younger self?
I guess to my younger self, that family doesn't always have your best interests at heart, and to look more outside for what you need. So your family's not always your strongest support system. You can have other people too, and you probably do need other people too.
And we talked a little bit about how much of a cheerleader Jamie is for you. What's the secret to your happiness in marriage? I watched one of your YouTube clips, and I think it was like a date night video, one like really early on from when you'd done it. And I really liked it because you had a bit of an argument on it, but it was really authentic and nice. And just like, I love the fact that you kind of you'd obviously set up to record you like doing this date night, and then you two had an argument, but you didn't like cut it out or anything. You kept it in. I thought that was really cool.
I just that's exactly how I try to be, like, just authentic, because we do fight. We argue. I don't want to say fight and argue, but yeah. We do, like, we have our moments, and then we're just like, we can look, the fact that we can look back and laugh at ourselves and grow from that moment is everything, because those moments are always going to happen. It doesn't matter. You're, you know, upset about getting to the airport at a certain time, or that someone didn't prepare a snack or for the kids, or didn't charge something, or, you know, it's just, you know, sometimes kids add to that. So it's like looking back and being able to laugh at those moments where you were not your best selves is honestly the best thing about, one of the best things about our relationship that I love. Because we can laugh about anything. She drives me crazy and I love her for it.
Amazing. What would you say to LGBTQ plus people who maybe want to be parents but don't know where to start?
There's many paths to parenthood, first of all. So many paths to becoming a parent. And it's just looking into those and figuring out what path that you want for yourself. And there's always going to be a lot of outside chatter and people saying like, oh no, do this. Oh, why would you do that? Like, and listening to yourself, listening to your partner, figuring out exactly what you want and just sticking with it. If that's what you want, then that's the path you should take. Are there going to be deviations and other roads? Sure, probably, maybe. And just giving yourself grace as you go through the process, I think is also very important as well.
And what have you found most challenging about being a parent?
Patience, I guess, would be one. just being patient with them because they are their own person. And like, even though I'm like, no, I want you to do this, and this, they're like, nah, I don't want to do that. So I'm trying to learn how to respect their space, respect their no's, and just be patient with them because, you know, they have a lot of emotions and feelings and they want to do certain things too. So just being patient with them and myself too.
One of the things I've been thinking about is values and what are the values that you want your children to grow up with. And because it's not something that I get, I'm like, do people actively think about that? Or do you just bring your kids up in the way that you think, right? Do you feel like you've got a set of values that you live by or that you're raising your kids with?
I think we do. Integrity, like, I don't want to say integrity because it's like, it's one of the core values of the Air Force. It's like integrity first, but not lying. So just honesty, mm-hmm. integrity, just do not lie to me. That is something that we have been harping on because as they get older, you know, when they get in, you know, teenager years, adulthood, if they go through something, like, I don't care what you think my reaction is going to be. It might not even be the reaction you think, but just always, always, always be honest with me so I can help you. Or maybe I don't even need to help you, but I can give you the support that you need. Mm-hmm. But honesty is definitely a big one, and acceptance of people. We try to teach that as well, like people that are not as able-bodied, people who look different, people who have different families. That is, acceptance is another one of our big things that we teach as well, or want to instill.
What's the worst piece of parenting advice you've ever been given?
The worst piece? Yeah. Oh, man. I don't know. People always want to say, oh, it gets better. It gets better. And I'm like, no, it doesn't.
It's great already.
I'm not saying that. One of my friends, actually, she told me, and this one is the best one. She goes, it doesn't get better. It just gets different. Maya was like 3, I think, at the time. And her boy, she had like a teenager and like one who was a preteen. And so she told me, she was like, it doesn't get better. It just gets different. And I'm like, that right there, just that was perfect. But people want to say it gets better. I'm like, no, it doesn't. That is not true. And you shouldn't tell somebody that anyway, because yes, you know, each stage has its moments, but like you can still enjoy the moment that you're in. So
and saying it gets better almost implies that it's bad at the
exactly
at the time,
like,
doesn't
why
it?
Would you tell a parent that? Like, no. Terrible advice.
What would be your piece of parenting advice?
Parenting advice. Oh, just, I guess, don't be afraid to learn and grow. It's a process. As your children learn and grow, so will you. And so it's okay to adapt, change, apologize, admit you were wrong, like try and switch things up to be better. As your kids learn and grow, so will you. And that's okay.
Well, that sounds like a perfect place to finish off. Thank you so much for chatting to me. It's been absolutely fascinating, and for taking the time out during your trip. And I hope you
this
have an amazing rest of your trip.
One of the best conversations ever. So thank you so much.
Thank you. That's it for this week on the Proud Parent Club podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show, and don't forget there's a new episode every week, so make sure you follow and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Also, for exclusive previews of next week's show, give us a follow on Instagram and TikTok at the Proud Parent Club. See you next week.